morning. We're so glad you're here today and hope you enjoyed the worship this morning. Been blessed by that. And I thank your worship team for leading that. What a great song that we sang. And love that new song. That's awesome. In the name of Jesus. You know, I love that the gates of hell shakes when we say the name of Jesus. And, you know, hey, when you say my name, the devil laughs. When you're not, I'm not up here, I'm under my name. It's not under my authority, right? But in the name of Jesus, he hates it. He trembles at the name of Jesus. And so we're just so glad you're here. And if you're a guest with us, thank you for being here. And as you came in, you should have received a program. And some churches call it a bulletin. But whatever you think it is, I hope you got one. And inside there's some handout notes, there's some things there, some announcements. There's also a connection card, and we just ask you to take a minute, find that card, and then you let us know who you are, fill it out, and then as you leave today, there's ways to drop it in one of the offering boxes throughout the building, or you can give it to me. I'll be in the lobby, and I also want to meet you. I love to meet first-time guests, and we have a free gift for you, so please stop by and see me, and I hope that you will. And so today we are going to wrap up our series on the living word. And just this short series, and in case you maybe missed a week or you haven't heard any of it so far, let me just kind of catch you up to speed where we've been. And of course, all of our messages are online. You can watch it online and catch up that way. And so hopefully you do that. First week, a couple weeks ago, we talk about the history of the Bible. So I kind of put my history teacher's hat on and really kind of talked about, you know, where God's word and how it kind of came through and how we got it to be into where it's at today. And so many of you didn't realize, you know, until maybe that message of the thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people's lives who were murdered and killed so that you and I could have God's word here today. And we take it for granted. We take God's word for granted. We've got it available anyway, everywhere we can. It's not illegal, but there were times in our history, you know, where God's word was illegal, and if you were caught with the word of God, you were either in prison, if not worse, killed for it. And so incredible right there that first week. Last week, we looked more about the apologetics of God's word, and you said, what's the apologetics? And that's a reason, explanation for what we believe and why we believe that the Bible that we have in our hand is the reliable word of God. And hopefully by last week, you everything we talked about last week, we talked about multiple things and different tests of reliability. And hopefully by the end of it, you'll be like, man, what I have here, this Bible that I hold in my hand, it's a miracle book, a book that is alive, a book that's living. And in fact, our key passage of the scripture today is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It's been a key passage for this whole series, where the Bible said, for the word of God is alive, not was alive, but is alive today, and it's active, it's powerful, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts, and it's the attitudes, it shapes the attitudes of your heart and my heart. That's what God's word does to us here, and that's what we've been doing in this series. And so today we're going to talk about the practical side of things. We talk about the history, we talk about the apologetics, and today I want to talk about how to be practical and how to study God's word. I've got up here a couple of things, and let me just kind of just bring it up to speed what I have here. A couple of things right here up front. I have two Bibles. I've got this Bible right here. It means so much to me. When I was ordained to be a pastor in 2009, this was the Bible that my pastor, who is still one of my mentors, still one that I keep up with, and he's still serving in Florida in the same church that, you know, now, when I was there. He'd been pastoring that church for over 35 years. And when I got ordained, he wrote this Bible. He got this Bible for me, put my name on it. And he wrote a very simple message. It says, Pastor, you know, just God, preach the word. Preach the word. And every time I open this up and I see that right there in the front, it reminds me of the call of God in my life to be faithful to the preaching of God's word. And what a great, great little book here, and I still use it all the time, and it's always with me. And then I have another Bible. This is not a Bible that I carry around like this. This is a big, big Bible right here. And this is an old Bible. And there's a real cool story here with this Bible that has something to do with every one of us here in this room. It's really neat. This Bible was made in 1895. And so it's 130 years old. And it was the Bible that was the pulpit Bible or the altar Bible of the original church that was at this building. You know, it was the Old Hope Methodist Church. And so the Bible had been in this area for a long time. It got forgotten. Believe it or not, this building that we're in was built in 2000. But before this building was an old little chapel building that's still standing on the property of the Shelby Township City Hall. It's the Hope Chapel. So, you know, sometimes you people can rent that out for little small weddings or little small events. That's still available. You still see it. And that used to be right here in the front, real close to the Van Dyke, you know, real close to the Van Dyke Road. And so 25 years ago, they were going to tear it down. Shelby Township said, oh, don't do that. You know, we'll take it. And it's one of the oldest buildings in Macomb County. And so it had a lot of history there. So when that building was standing here, it was right up in the front, there was, believe it or not, a basement underneath it. Now, it wasn't one of those finished basements. It was a very damp dungeon basement. You know, one of those that, you know, the breeding ground for some of the biggest spiders in all of Macomb County. It's the kind of basement that nobody wants to go in. All right? It's damp, it's wet, it's dirty, it's dust everywhere. And so in 1990, there was a janitor that went down there for some reason to maybe clean things up a little bit. And while he was down there, stumbled upon this Bible that had been sitting in that damp basement. And this Bible, when you open it, the pages are about to fall apart. And so I got here a newspaper article from the Macomb Daily talking about the rediscovery of this Bible and how it was, how it means so much for the church that it been with the church since the beginning of its time period. And in 2019, we bought this building, but before we bought this building, the church previous wasn't sure what was gonna happen to this space. You know, there was a lot of interest, you know, some different other interests besides the church to maybe purchase this land and do something different with it. And so Christine and Don Kanicki, they were part of this church. They're in the back over here. And they were part of that church previous to Lake Point right here. And they were walking out, you know, and they were leaving a lot of stuff behind. A lot of stuff was being left behind. And they were kind of walking out, locking the doors and giving the key to the realtor and giving it up. And they saw this Bible still be left behind. And they said, we got to take this Bible because what if someone else takes it and throw the Bible away? And so they took the Bible, and then about 6-8 months after we got in here and got our feet wet, and Don and Christine, they hey, this is our church now. We're still here. And they showed up one day at my office and said, we got something for you that belonged to the church. And so here I have this Bible in my office, And it's just a beautiful, beautiful reminder that God's word has withstood the test of time. It survived a filthy basement. It survived, you know, a several transition of people that, you know, taken over the building. And God's word is still here. And it's just a special part of our history here at Lake Point Church. And by the way, Don and Christine, thank you for keeping his Bible and making sure it got passed on. That's awesome. And then one day, we're going to pass that on to the, you know, I'll pass it on to the next pastor, to the, you know, and the future generations. It'd be great to see this Bible, you know, throughout the time here. And so one other thing about God's word is one of the things we did in 2019, and it was so important to us to read the scriptures out loud from Genesis to Revelation before our very first service here. And so we had people reading God's word out loud. I felt bad for the people that had to read the book of Numbers, Ezekiel. I mean, those were some tough reading, but it got done. I'm telling you, it got done. There may have been nobody in the room, but they came in here and they stood and proclaimed God's word from Genesis to Revelation. What's the testimony of what our commitment is here at Lake Point? It's a commitment to the living, living word. God has given us his word as an instruction manual for life, as a guide for us to live by. I remember before the GPS days, you know, when men were driving their cars, and you know, wives always knew, you know, when the husband's lost. It was something that, you know, the vibe for the men. And they said, hey, and honey, the husband would go, the wife would say to the husband, and say, hey, honey, are you lost? Oh, no, I'll figure it out, you know. I said, why don't you pull over and go to the gas station and ask for directions? Oh, no, I don't need to do that. Just give me some time, you know. I'll figure this out. And that was me one time. And I had, you know, a date and a double date and with me. And Kathy, with your daughter, Jessica, you know, who was with her boyfriend, husband now, Michael. And we had a youth activity. And we never got to the youth activity. I was driving. We were so lost. And they kept saying, Jessica, and they were like, why don't you pull over? Oh, no, I know how to get there. And we never made it. So sometimes we are like that. We say, hey, we don't need a guide. We don't need someone to tell us where to go. And we're lost. We're a mess without it. And we just got to be humble ourselves. We got to humble ourselves. We got to be honest and say, hey, I need direction. I don't need to be afraid to seek guidance in my life. And that's what God's word is. God's word is an instruction manual for your life, for mine. It's there for us. It is for us on how to live. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 16 and 17, all scripture is God-breathed. I mean, every word in God's word, in the Bible, it's God's breath on a page. And we have it right here. God's word is spoken to us, and it's useful for teaching. In other words, it's useful for telling us what's right. It's useful for rebuking. It tells us what's wrong. It is useful for correcting how to make wrong right. And then training in righteousness, how to keep right right, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That phrase, thoroughly equipped, the Bible is God's tool for making us fully equipped for everything in life. It is God's manual for us to live. And so we have God's word. The Bible said in Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. God's word are all these things. It's refreshing, it's perfect, it's trustworthy, it's joyful, it gives joy to the heart, it gives light to the eyes. In other words, the commands of the Lord, give us clear insight in how you and I should live. And once we begin with the right attitude of humility, once we say, hey, God, I need help and I need direction, I need your word, once we realize that it's okay to say that, that's when God begins to fully equip us with the word of God and to shape us, to show us and how to give us the direction of where we should go. And so today I want to talk about a couple of things here as we kind of wrap up this series in a practical way. How do we read the Bible? How do we do this? How do we study it? What are we called, you and I, what are we called to do with the Word of God? And I got two thoughts here today. And if you're taking notes, number one, you and I are called to master the Word. Right? We're called, you and I, to master it. To master God's Word. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 1, 2, and 3. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Now, for us to understand it first, we kind of need to understand some Jewish traditions, some background. Because back then, they really, really understood what it means to literally dedicate their entire life to mastering the text. They understood that. That was part of their culture. For example, if you had a young boy, at 5 or 6 years of age, they would go to a special Hebrew-type school, and they would their curriculum was the first 5 books of the Bible. That's what they studied. That's what they learned. In fact, by the age of 10, many of these boys would have memorized the entire book of the law. By the age of 10, that is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. By the age 10, they memorized them. I don't know about you, but my kids can quote maybe every line from a Marvel movie, right? Or they can quote their favorite song, their favorite lyrics, you know, they've got that memorized. But how many of our kids, or how many of us, for that matter, really have a complete memorization of the first 5 books? I know I don't. And yet these guys were so specific and so careful to know and to master the Word of God. And so when they graduated from that level of school, they would go to another level. You know, and so from age 10 to 13, they would really start to go deeper in the Scripture and deeper in the Hebrew Scripture, and they would memorize even more Scriptures. By the time they were 13, they would have had the entire Hebrew Scripture memorized. And so what we see in the book of Proverbs is that we're commanded to take God's word and to use them to literally guard our eyes, to guard our minds. You see a section in that Proverbs, you see right there where it talks about in verse 3, God's word and tying them up to their fingertips. And writing them on the walls of their heart. And if you look back in the Jewish tradition, they took that very, very, very serious and very, very literal. I mean, they would literally write God's word, God's name. You know, they would take verses. They would take, you know, for example, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And they would write the words of God on the walls of their homes. They would take parchment papers and they would write scriptures on parchment papers. And it might be about this wide, you know, but be very long. And then they would tie it to their wrist or tie it to their arms, and they would wear the Bible all day long. They literally, they put their fashion. They had what they called phylacteries. Phylacteries, that's the crazy word. They're like, what in the world is a phylacteries? And that was a little leather box with a strap, and they would wear that strap on their forehead. And you have this box on their forehead. And inside that box would be little tiny parchment paper to just scroll, you know, of the Word of God written down. And they did this so that they could literally take God's Word everywhere they went. They talk about it at home. They talk about it at work. They talk about it when, you know, taking their kids to school and coming back home from school. They just talk about it every single day. They were mastering the text. They were mastering God's Word. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It said, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. We're to study the Bible, right? Continually, day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. This is the only time in Scripture we see that word, successful. And there is a direct connection between a successful life, not in man's eyes, but in the eyes of God, a successful Christian life, and your study and meditation of the Word of God. And so my question for you here as we talk about what it means to master the text is, what is your plan? What is your plan to meditate, to study God's Word? Now, one way to think about a daily Bible study plan is to think about how you eat your meal in a physical way. You know, you have a plan when it comes to physical food. Most of us, your plan might be breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You eat three meals a day. And so if the Bible is your spiritual food, think about how you digest your physical food. And when it comes to the spiritual side of things, you need a spiritual plan of nourishment. And so what does that plan look like for you? Do you have an intentional plan for Bible study? And that key word is intentional. You know, you're intentional to eat physical food. You need to be intentional about eating spiritual food. And when you're intentional about something, when you have a plan for something, something gets done. When you have a plan for nothing, nothing gets done. So have a plan. Think about what that looks like for you. And everybody's different, by the way. The way I have a plan might be different than your plan. But have a plan. That's the point, right? Get a plan and stick with a plan. And a plan works when you value something of importance. Like, listen, I love food. Food is important. I value food. I believe everybody in here value food. If you don't eat food, you're in trouble. You value it. And when you put a value on the price of God's Word, when you value it like it should, when you say, hey, this is important. That's why we talk about week one, you know, the sacrifices, the people, you know, what it took to have God's Word in our hands. That's why it's so important to talk about the reliability of the Scripture last week, so that you can say, man, this is not just some ordinary book. This book is important and it needs to be important in my life. I need to value it. And when you value something important, then you can start becoming intentional to doing something with it. And so you have to have an intentional plan. I got here real quick. Let me give you some applications here, and there's some tools for studying the Bible. Real quick, you can choose a Bible that you enjoy reading. Choose a Bible. There's all kinds of translations. Find one that you like. For me, I love the New Living Translation. You know, I like the NIV. You know, and sometimes I'll read through the Bible and then I'll change it up and I'll read a different translation when I go through the Scriptures. And so, but find a translation that you can understand, that you can make, that makes sense for you. And I also encourage you to find a study Bible. That's different than a translation. The study Bibles, there are all kinds of study Bibles out there. One of the most popular ones is the Life Application Study Bible, the Great Study Bible. And you can find that in different translations, the NIV, the New Living Translation, the NASB, the ESB, all kinds of translations, the New King James, and the Life Application Study Bible. What's great about that is you'll read a scripture and get all these wonderful side notes built right into the Bible. And there are different themes out there. There's different study Bibles out there. One of my offices that I love is the Archaeology Study Bible. And go through it and highlight some important discoveries through the lens of archaeology. And it's just interesting. It's information that complement my Bible reading. And so, the John Maxwell Leadership Study Bible, that is this. There's the Golfer Study Bible, I'm sure. There's the Policeman and the Firefighter Study Bible. There are all kinds of them out there, But that's a great tool. I'm not saying you have to use it, but I just want you to know that that's out there in different translations, and find a tool that you can use to regularly dive into. Also, use commentaries and other study materials. They're great resources that's available that can help complement. And sometimes there's so many of them out there, you're like, I don't know where to start. So I've got a QR code, and I encourage you to get the link, or you can just go to this link, Linktree at Lake Point Church or -Lake Point Church. You can go there, but go ahead and take a picture of that or get that QR code with your phone. You won't be rude if you do that. I know you won't be taking a picture of me when you go. You're taking a picture of that, okay? And get that. That's helpful information. And let me just talk a quick few things there. First of all, the commentary. Now the commentary is not on that link, but commentaries are great study, great complementary tool. It's usually just. The thick. I've got one that I really love, and this is called the Bible Exposition Commentary. It's on your handout notes, and by Warren Wiersbe, and 6 volumes. And I have this, and I have this in my office, and I love this. I go through this a lot, and sometimes I go there on my library, on my bookshelf, and I'm looking for one of my volumes that's missing. My wife had taken it, or my mom had taken it. They just take it. They just go in there and just take it. I said, okay, well, I guess I don't need it. So I bought my mom a set. It's $119 for 6 volumes. By the way, she said, that sounds like a lot of money. It's a great investment in studying tools. Check it out. You can see what it had to offer. It's layman term. In other words, it's at the level. Not deep over your head. Some commentaries can get really deep. But that's a great at the level, make great gift for Christmas, Mother's Day, and that's what I did for my mom for Mother's Day 1 year. I got her a whole set, and she loves it. She uses it all the time. And so this is just one of commentaries, just one I like. I have another one. This is by Warren Wiersbe, and this one was given to me by my grandparents in 1993, and it's called With the Word. It's a devotional commentary. Short little commentaries, about that long, for every chapter in the Bible. That's a great tool. It's a great supplement to help me study God's Word. You also see in that QR code, and you also see in your handout notes, Right Now Media. That is an awesome resource for every person in this room. The church pays for a monthly fee. This is like a Netflix Bible study. Thousands of Bible studies. For every walk of life, for kids all the way up to those who are seniors in their age, for everybody, married couples, for single men, ladies, great resources, and it costs you nothing. And so many of you don't realize what we have here. Awesome materials. Check this out in a Right Now Media. Sign up. You just got to sign up and give your password, username, and you can have free access to Right Now Media resources. I have great, also on that link, some website like gateway.com, bible.com, studylight.org, gotquestion.org, espn.com. So good. I was just checking to see if you're all paying attention. ESPN.com is not on there, but it's good stuff there, though, right? All great tools. So, hey, I'm going to encourage you to find a tool. So much out there. It's available. Follow a reading plan to stay consistent. Follow a reading plan to stay consistent. Acts chapter 17 talk about the early Christian that really changed the world. And look what they said in verse 11. They received the message with great eagerness, and they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. They had a reading plan. They studied God's word. They had a daily plan, whatever that was. Now, there's all kinds of plans out there. You could, one plan is to start from Genesis and go to Revelation and take 12 months, 18 months, you know, read 4, 5, or 6 chapters a day. Or you can even go slower than that. Read one chapter a day. It might take you 3 years, but that's okay. You know, whatever works for you. Sometimes we say, hey, I'm going to read the Bible in 1 year. And that's about 6 or 7 chapters a day. And so you're kind of reading. You know, and you're getting some stuff there and there, but you're not spending a lot of meditation time, most likely. Maybe you are. I know some people, they'll read 6 or 7 chapters and spend an extra, you know, 30, 40 minutes, you know, meditating on that. But a lot of times, with like 6 or 7 chapters, it can be long reading. There's some reading plans where you can say, hey, you know what, I'm just going to spend 1 book in the Bible. I'm going to spend the book of John in the book of July. And I'm going to just take 1 verse, 1, you know, 1 chapter a day. And just kind of just go slow. You know, like barbecue cooking, low and slow. You know, just let that juice marinate into the meat. And that's a good idea of meditation. It's low and slow. You're not trying to cram. You're not trying to just read and check off the box. Just saying, okay, I'm just going to read 1 chapter, and I'm just going to take my time. I'm going to read the extra study material, and I'm not in a rush. You got your entire life to read the whole Word of God. And so go low and slow. Take your time. But there are all kinds of ways to do it. You can, you know, Bible.com, which is YouVersion on your Bible app. YouVersion, it got many different plans. They've got a 30-day plan. They've got 90-day plans. They've got a 1-year plan. So check those plans out. Find a plan. And I love what Bible.com, I love what it does. You know, you can download the app. It can send you a notification. So it's like 10 o'clock at night. It says, hey, you haven't read your Bible today. It's, oh, yes, thank you. And you know, and you get off Facebook or whatever you're on and get back over and help you get in a healthy habit of reading God's Word, And so join the D group. What a powerful, powerful thing we have here here at Lake Point. We started D group last year. It's different than life group. Life group is 8 weeks, give or take. D group starts in October and usually goes to, you know, the end of May, June. It's intense. You're meeting with 3 to 5 people, you know, 3 to 5 men or 3 to 5 ladies. You're going through the Word of God. You're journaling. You're taking time. Then, and every week you come together and you share what God's Word meant to you and how you apply it to your life. It's a wonderful thing. If you want to be a part of that, on the back of your connection card, you can say, hey, I want to be a part of a D group. Maybe you say, hey, I'd love to lead one. Believe it or not, if you've been in the Word of God, you can lead a group. And we'll help you. Pastor Dave will reach out to you in the next couple of weeks and talk about how you can either lead a group or be a part of a D group. And we finished our group this past year. I had about 5 guys in my group. And we just had great fellowship. We're great. We grew together. We challenged each other. We held each other accountable. And there was no judgment. There was no shame. It was encouragement. Running alongside of each other in life. Whatever you decide to do, start reading. Have a plan. And ask God to help you to understand and be open to his word. Be open. God is calling you to take his word literally everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. So we are called to master the word. Number two, we are called to be mastered by the word. We are called to be mastered by the word. If you're taking note, the Bible was not given to us for information only. We need information. Theology is important. We need to understand everything that the Bible talks about. Information is important. Don't misunderstand me. But what's more important than just information is this. The Bible was given, if you're taking notes, for your transformation. If you're just reading God's word, doing all the study stuff just for your head knowledge, but your heart is not being changed by it, then you're missing the point. You're missing it. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is talking to a group of religious people, the Pharisees. And he looked them right in the eyes and he said in verse 27, "Woe to you teachers and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside it's full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean." Back in these days, when people were buried, they were buried in these tombs, and there were white walls. And about once or twice a year, the religious group of people would come out, and they would take water and lime, and they would scrub down these tombs so that they can have that nice-looking whiteness on the outside, look nice and clean. And that's what they did. And so here you have Jesus, right? He comes on the scene. He's the Jewish carpenter. There's a lot of curiosity about who he is. And he claims that he's the Son of God. And some people believe him. Some people didn't believe him. And I love this passage right here of Scripture, because what he does, he looks at the spiritual leaders in the eyes and he says, "Hey, you guys, how are you looking? How are you doing? On the outside, you're looking great. On the outside, you know how to hold the Bible. On the outside, you know how to wear the Bible. You've got your Bible fashion on. You've got it on your forehead in those little boxes. You know, you know how to talk the talk, but you don't know how to walk the walk. Your walk doesn't match your talk." It said on the inside, as I look deep in the inside of your life, you're dead inside. You're unclean. On the outside, you're just posing. On the inside, you're fake. You're not real. How about you, my friend? Are you posing? On the outside, does it look good? On the outside, and say, "Hey, I've got my Bible. You know, I can talk the talk. I can sound spiritual. I can sound religious." Are you watching the outside of your life white, but the inside of your life is unclean? Dead? Are you posing? Are you posing? Some of you right here, and say, "Well, God, you know, I'm leading I lead a life group, or I lead a D group. I've seen on the worship team. You know, I serve in kids' ministry. My kids go to youth. We're at church." But that's not my question. My question for you is, what is going on the inside of you? Are you posing? When the inside is empty, the Bible says here in 1 John chapter 2, and we're done. John, he writes this letter. He said, "We know that we have come to know Jesus if we keep his commands. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not do what he commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in that person." I mean, I just love the bluntness here. He's not sugarcoating. He is a liar. He said, but if anyone, here's the key word, obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. So here's the deal. Today is the day. For some of you, today is the day. It's time to be mastered, to be changed, to be transformed by the Word of God. You see, this is the only book in the entire world that reads us. And it wants to give you direction. It wants to give you guidance. But so many of you are like me, driving around, don't want to get direction. I'll figure this out. And you're missing out on what God wants for your life. You want what God wants for your life. You want to be successful. You want to be prosperous in the eyes of God. You want to live the life that God wants you to have, to get in the book. The living word. Don't just master the text. Oh, we're called to do that. But we're also called to be mastered by it. And to walk like Jesus did. Where's your life? I challenge you this week. It's time to pick it up. Maybe your Bible been sitting in the dungeon somewhere, like this book, for so many years, in a musty place. It hadn't been picked up. You haven't read it. It's time to pick up God's Word. And you have access to it. With technology today, we have it in so many different ways. We have it. So good in this generation. We are so stinking blessed. And yet, people 500 years ago would die to have the access like you have. My friend, master it and be mastered by the living word. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we want to know more about you. And you got everything we need to know about you through your word, the living word that is still alive and active. And it penetrates the thoughts and the hearts. It cuts. It steps on our toes when our toes need to be stepped on. It gives us life when we need that breath fresh of life in dark times and troubled times of our lives. It's there for us to guide us, to lead us, to direct our steps. Oh God, forgive us when we don't open your word and let it do a work on the inside out. Lord, I know that some of us, it's hard. Some of us, we tried. We pick up the Bible, we pick up your word, and we struggle, but God, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will enable us, will come alongside of us. God, I pray that we lean on the Holy Spirit to help us to understand what we have in front of us, to help us to read it and to apply it so that we can be transformed by your grace. And so, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you. God, I pray we treasure it and we live it out. I pray that we get a plan this week. I pray we do whatever it is. We get in the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Before Pastor Chris.